Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." The term "much people" is oklos, in Greek, a throng. So don't get the wrong idea. Because people in heaven, well, that's what people think of as being saved people. But here we've been thinking of it in terms of angelic hosts. And when we see the bride, the Lamb's wife, there are the saved, those who are saved. There is salvation. And that's coming up in just a little bit later in this chapter. But just laying that aside for the time being. Alleluia. Praise ye the Lord is what that terminology means from Hebrew. Alleluia. Praise ye Yah. It's sort of the shortened form of the ancient name of God from the Old Testament. And so in the Greek New Testament, that's an Aramaic word. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. He has taken to himself his great power and has set his reign. He has set the earth in order. He has judged the great whore. He's brought about his judgment, his righteous judgment, his true judgment. The world needs to be judged. People are very, don't judge. And we should not judge people. But there is a difference between judging people and just declaring the judgment of God. We know the judgment of God is against them that do certain things. That's what Paul said. We know what the judgment of God is. God has already judged many things. So I'm not in the business of making up judgments, saying what is right and what is wrong. That's not what I do. I just listen to what God says, and then I communicate that. Where people sometimes get out of line is they start wanting to declare things about individuals. Saying, well, he's lost. Well, that person is damned. And that's totally out of order. We have no idea. We can't judge anything before the time as pertains to individuals. As pertains to truth, though, the judgment of God stands. All the judgment is already done. Except for the matters he left up to our conscience, but then in those matters of conscience, we're going to be judged by our consciences of whether or not we thought what we were doing was correct in a matter of conscience. Now, see, you may think what you're doing is right, let's say in the matter of murder. Say someone thought, well, I have a right to kill them. Like the two witnesses, they're going to think what they're doing is right. They're going to think they're doing God's service. But in that case, your conscience cannot exonerate you because the judgment of God stands sure. Now, when it comes to a matter of conscience, such as keeping the Sabbath, how men ought to do that in light of the New Testament, it's a matter of conscience. And every man, according to his conscience, is going to be judged. And we have no business pronouncing judgments on people regarding that or upon even what they think.
I should say over what they think they should do.
Because it's been left up to conscience.
One man honors one day above another, another man honors every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
So, there is a balance between the conscience and the law. Because our conscience is a law unto itself, as Paul taught. What we know, when we know what we're doing is wrong, our conscience condemns us. And also when we condemn others, we condemn ourselves. But God's judgment is eternal. It stands sure. God has decided already what he thinks is right and how he wants things to be. What his standard of righteousness is. That's what right is. It's what God has judged right to be. What he has demanded of us. We want to live up to his righteous standards. And we do that through the power of faith through Jesus Christ. So, He has judged the great whore. She did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Remember, I went into great detail about this, how that the action of the apostate church going over to Satan is such a powerful social sort of motivator.
That the whole world will be deceived because of it, because of her fornication.
Fornication. Because it's not adultery. You know, the Bible talks about adultery in the Old Testament because Israel was married to God, so to speak, and she went astray from him. Well, the church is not really married to God. The church is espoused to God. There's the difference between the Old Testament and where Israel was seen as God's wife, at least in this is a symbolic, prophetic sort of sense. And it does talk about adultery in a spiritual sense in the prophets, and we'll get to that when we do Isaiah, which will be coming up after we clean up the New Testament here. In the New Testament, it is fornication, as far as in this symbolic sort of a collection of imagery and ideas. Fornication has to do with the Old Testament understanding that when a man is espoused
to a virgin
and she commits fornication before they're married, as Jesus said, a man, that was one of the reasons he gave for divorce. I think it's interesting that he chose that. He did not mention adultery, because I believe adultery goes without saying. He didn't need to say adultery. What he was saying is, a man who's married to a woman, right, they got married, and since they got married, he found she had been with another man. That was the cause of fornication, the legal reason that Jesus cited for divorce. And so it's not adultery, it's fornication.
It refers to the going astray before they are married, whereas adultery is after.
She corrupts the earth with her going astray. There's all kinds of imagery in the parables of Christ, especially the one of the, well, not all kinds, but especially in the one of the 10 virgins, where the bridegroom comes and then the virgins are locked out because they did not have oil in their lamp and they had to go to the merchants. We covered all this. I'm sort of reviewing it a little because it's mentioned here. The Lord will avenge the blood of his servants that will be shed in that time by those people. Verse 3, and again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great.